Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm going to go right to the phone calls. Stephen first in Overland Park, Kansas. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. My question is, in Genesis, God, when he had the flood, why didn't he destroy the sea creatures as he did with the land animals and humans, as he described in Genesis 6:7. I kind of kept thinking about it all day, and what I began to think about now is maybe it's an illustration of God's sovereignty and his view on election, doctrine of election, just as he can choose who he decides to be saved. Maybe this is an illustration of these animals that he chose to put on that boat, on the ark, and even the sea creatures that he chose not to even destroy. Could that be an illustration of God?
Well, there are likely a lot of creatures that God did not destroy, but you're absolutely right in saying that he did not destroy the sea creatures. But the biblical text is not designed to communicate whether the flood was global with respect to the earth or universal with respect to humanity. I think that debate is ultimately settled by a proper reading of the book of nature. And you have to remember that civilization was largely confined to the Fertile Crescent at that time. So we need not automatically presume that the floodwaters covered the globe. For example, by way of illustration, when the Bible tells us that the whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart, very few people would suppose that this includes Aborigines from Australia or indigenous people from the Americas. So one thing we can be certain, the text of Scripture, both old and new, communicates the reality of a great flood in which only a few people, eight in all, were saved. But the text itself says nothing whatsoever about destroying the sea creatures, nor, again, as I said, is there any warrant for suggesting that God destroyed everything, because we simply don't know from a biblical standpoint that the flood was global with respect to the earth. We know that it was universal with respect to humanity. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Amarel in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi.
Hey, Hank. Thank you. I've called you a few times, and it's very appreciated. I've been going through a bit of a darker time right now. I struggle with mental health issues. I've been diagnosed either as a schizophrenic or a schizoaffective. But, you know, what's really difficult is that all my episodes are usually very tied into my salvation and wondering if I'm saved. And even, I mean, just like there's a scripture that, you know, we receive the righteousness of Christ when we believe in him. And so sometimes I feel like, because everybody says they sin every day, you know, then I wonder, well, maybe did God remove his spirit from the earth? You know, has the gospel been preached to everybody? Has he already, you know what I mean? And I know you don't, I guess I'm just looking for, how do we know that we're still living in a time when Christ is with us? And how can I get a sense of his presence in me, and, you know, when I'm struggling to feel it?
What are you doing in terms of your Christian walk? Are you participating in a body of believers? Are you taking the sacraments on a weekly basis? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you praying? I mean, these are all means by which we participate in the nature of God, not by ontology, not by the way that we're constructed, but by His grace. We become what He is by nature, but we have to partake of His graces. So we shouldn't be static in the idea that, well, I prayed a prayer and I should be in and worry about it, but we ought to participate in the graces that God has given us so that we can be deified, we can become partakers of the divine nature.
Okay. I do. I go to church. I read the Bible more than anybody that I know. I sort of pray. I try, man, but I still struggle with this stuff. And I feel like the Christian life is supposed to be one of celebrating our union with Him. It's not supposed to be all about trying to get closer to Him and feel closer to Him. Like, it should
be. That's how you celebrate your union with Him. I mean, that's the whole point. And I think you're uncovering something very important here. It's not just about Christ dying so that you will go to heaven. That is true. But it is so that you can have life and have it to the full. But again, that is a function of communicating with the very one who saved you, partaking in the graces that He offers you so that you can be a participant or a partaker of the divine nature, as Peter puts it. And when you do those things, then you see that, as in Philippians, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion, that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault, and that the Holy Spirit within you is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, all of which are biblical passages that underscore the assurance that we have that if we partake of the divine nature, which we are called to partake of by grace, then we will have a sense of the infilling of Christ. So Christ empties Himself so that you can be filled with His presence. And again, the Holy Spirit is an earnest of that within you. So if you partake of all of the means of grace, it does not mean that there won't be times of doubt. There are. I have those times myself. And that's why I think apologetics is so important, because apologetics is not just giving an answer to someone who is doubting or an answer as a springboard for sharing the gospel, but when you yourself have the winds and waves of doubt beat upon the house of your faith, you can go back to those essentials. God created the universe, Jesus Christ is God, and the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
It's all that. I mean, I have never doubted God and the reality of Him. It's just my place in Him that I worry about from time to time. But I understand what you're saying is partake of all the graces He has provided.
Not the least of which is the Lord's table. Remember the importance of that. Jesus Christ said that if you eat my body and drink my blood, you have life. If you don't, you have no life in you. So you want to partake of the means of grace. And there are many examples that could be given, but I don't think anything more central than the body and blood of Jesus Christ. This is something that Luther stressed over and over again during his earthly ministry, but it preceded him. The early church fathers were very, very focused on this being the primary means by which we can experience union with God. But you can have confidence. You can know that He hears us whatever we ask. You can know that you not only think you have eternal life, but you can know that you have everlasting life. Jesus Christ has said that. We can know that beyond the shadow of a doubt because His word makes that absolutely plain.
Okay. Hank, I appreciate you taking some time with me, so thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Paul. He's listening in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Hank. I say I'm a big fan. I'm very excited to talk to you. I'm just astounded by your knowledge, your encyclopedic knowledge of everything Christian, and I really appreciate the great work you do. Wanted to call you. I run into recently a couple of instances on social media. Folks making the argument, I think, the misplaced argument that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. And it seems to me that a basic knowledge of the two religions demonstrates that the two, you know, the God of Christianity is vastly different from the God of Islam, and that, you know, we worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where the Muslims say that, you know, far be it from Allah to have a son even. And we're saved by our faith through Christ, by grace through faith. And they have to earn and work for their faith, and they never know, I guess, until they die whether or not scales are balanced in their favor. But, you know, I think this is another, I wonder if you would sort of give me some more thoughts on that.
I think, as we have demonstrated over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Allah of Islam is not the God of the Bible. I actually have an entry on that particular question in the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. There's a contrast between the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus in Islam. For example, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, in Islam you have committed the unforgivable sin of shirk. And by the way, Allah in Islam does not even comprehend the biblical Trinity. It's got the persons of the Trinity all mixed up. We'll be right back.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
www.cris.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Doug in Liberty, Kansas. Hi, Doug.
Oh, yeah, I was just wondering. I thought John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom is at hand. That means we can do it now. We can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Well, yeah, in a sense, I would say that's true. We are co-consummators of the kingdom. The kingdom started small. It was prefigured by Christ as a mustard seed, but it becomes large, so large that birds can nest in its branches. And so the Lord is using an illustration to say that the kingdom, which starts as a grain, fills the earth. Daniel used a similar illustration, a rock cut out of the mountain fills the earth. So we are co-consummators of Christ, and we are the ones that are privileged to do the very thing that we have been called to do, and that is to disrupt Satan's kingdom. We're called to be those who are announcing that the king has landed in disguise and is calling us all to a great campaign of sabotage. Again, the sabotage is the sabotage of Satan's world.
Okay, so you believe the kingdom of heaven on earth someday?
Well, absolutely, because this universe is going to be transformed. It now groans. It is awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And in Revelation chapter 21, we read that God himself will be with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Paradise lost is bound to become paradise restored. We will once again eat, as it were, from the tree of life, and we will be fully filled with Christ and relate to the Anthropos, the God-man, in a renewed universe.
So you believe in a predestination? Everything is just happening. There's no plan B. Everything's happening exactly the way God planned it.
Well, I don't believe in fatalistic determinism as the philosophical naturalists do, that everything is a function of brain chemistry and genetics and you have no choice. No, I believe that the choices that we make really do matter. And certainly, as the scripture makes plain, we choose our path, but God directs our steps. There's an antinomy, there's a tension there. But what we do really does make a difference, and therefore we are called to make a difference while there is yet time.
Oh, okay. So you think like Adam and Eve, if the parents are sinless, then the children will be born sinless?
Well, the parents are not sinless. We're all born with a broken gene, and every single person has ratified that in thought, word, and deed. But God created humanity in such a way that they were able to choose to worship him and experience deification or fall for Satan's ruse, that you can self-deify, that you on your own account can become as God is. And Adam and Eve, they ate the forbidden fruit, as it were. They bit into the lie. And as a result of that, they fell into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death. And every single human being from that time on has been born with a broken gene.
But originally, we were supposed to be born sinless, just like Adam and Eve, right?
Well, Adam and Eve, yes, but Adam and Eve had a potential for evil. God creates humanity with potential for evil. If he hadn't created us in that way, there would have been no such thing as love. Everything would have been coerced, and God does not create humanity such that love is coerced, because were it coerced, it would be meaningless.
Oh, so God is both good and evil.
No, God is not good and evil. God creates the potential for evil, which is to say that God does not create evil, as some would have it, but God creates the potential for evil, and that potential is created by volitional beings who can choose to follow God or choose to do otherwise. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk next to Jose, listening in Banning, California. Hi, Jose.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I had a question because my family members, my sister and my brother attend a Pentecostal church, and there's just certain things that doesn't line up with the scriptures that they teach, and I would like to encourage them, but they know it's true, and I would like to see what you knew about the scriptures of what's their stance on confronting a teacher or somebody in leadership that may not be teaching according to the scriptures, or maybe twisting the gospel or anything like that. Are they able to confront leadership or somebody that's in charge of the church or something like that, like a teacher or a preacher?
Well, absolutely. And I think to do that with gentleness and with respect is the way in which we should do it. But the precedent for doing it is clearly etched in the pages of Scripture. So we have example after example of the apostles doing just that. Interestingly enough, you even have Paul reproving Peter publicly in Galatians chapter 2, I think it is. And you have Paul rebuking the Corinthians publicly. And you have John rebuking certain people in the church publicly. 1 Timothy 5:20 tells us that those who are in sin are to be rebuked publicly so that others may not take the same path and may heed the warning. And Paul actually names names in the process. So if spiritual cyanide is being communicated publicly, then there ought to be reproof for that. And it should be called out for what it is. Now remember, we believe at the Christian Research Institute in mere Christianity, as C.S. Lewis put it. Another way of putting that is we believe in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So on secondary issues, we can debate them without dividing over them. But in the essentials, we must stand firmly for the faith and call out that which is heresy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Hank, for showing me those scriptures. And your program has helped me a lot. And may the Lord continue to bless your program.
You got it. Thank you so much for your wonderful words. And I want to remind everybody listening in that while our Lord cautioned followers not to judge self-righteously, he also counseled them to make judgments based on right standards. Oftentimes people say, judge not or you too will be judged. Jesus did say that, but Jesus was talking about not judging self-righteously or hypocritically. Jesus exhorted us to judge false prophets whose teachings and behavior lead people astray. And thus, while we are commanded not to judge hypocritically, we are nonetheless called to judge. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Chance, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Chance.
Thank you, Hank. I just had a question about the gentleman that you talked to earlier. He had some mental health issues or something like that. I was just looking for further clarification on that because it kind of made it sound like a little bit to me like as if he wasn't doing enough. Like some things can be, you know, cured through prayer or all things, I should say, or study enough or going to church enough. Which to me kind of doesn't make sense because we live in the same fallen world that everybody else does. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're not going to struggle with some of the same things. I mean, obviously.
Well, he was struggling with the assurance of his salvation. But we weren't talking about that in that context. In that context, we're talking about the fact that he was struggling with his assurance of salvation. So I gave him a number of passages that augment the fact that he who begins a work in us will carry that work on to completion, that we have the Holy Spirit within us as an earnest of our salvation. So I gave him the biblical text, and I also told him that we shouldn't try to go this road alone. We ought to go this road in community. So within the body of Christ, there are people that can help you when you fall, that help you when you struggle. And we should also partake of the means of grace that God has given us to partake of so that we can grow in our relationship with the Lord. So it's a matter of growing in the relationship with the Lord. The more you spend time with a friend, the more that friend becomes close to you. And when that friend is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence and knit you together in your mother's womb, it is no small thing. So we partake of the means of grace given to us so that we can be assured of our relationship or fellowship within the Trinity, and the fact that he who began that good work is going to carry it on to completion.
Right, right. And I guess, you know, but I'm also concerned with that too, because as a person that struggles with mental health, sometimes it can be things within the person that's not quite correct that can lead them to things like that.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. And as I've often said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm glad you underscore that once again, is that if you have mental health issues, then you need to seek proper remedy for that, just as if you had physical health issues, you seek proper remedy for that. So good point. Glad you brought it up. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or I would continue the conversation. But do remember that this program is on the air because of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Standing with us shoulder to shoulder in that battle does make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. Thank you. And I'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.